The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet them." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And this is the word of our Lord. This scripture that we read this morning, taken out of context, is still rich material, full of the Word of God, full of the lesson, but taken out of context, it has far less meaning and is far less easily understood. And one of the reasons is because it is scripture that is heavily immersed in a culture that is long gone, a culture that is very foreign, particularly to those of us in the United States. The idea of having the virgins carrying candles and coming to meet the bridegroom is a thing that is very foreign and difficult to understand. The idea of having the enormous wedding ceremonies that are planned for years or months at the very least and bring everybody in for a feast are difficult to understand. But Scripture does not come to us out of context. It comes to us in the Bible, and we understand the Word by reading the Word. This whole series of parables, and this, of course, is a parable, not a historic occurrence. It is exaggerated by Jesus Christ to teach. It is given to him as a model to help us understand something that is very important for us to understand. So if we take our Bibles and we turn back a couple pages to the beginning of chapter 24, we have signs in chapter 24 of the end of the age. We read some of this in Thessalonians just now. And don't you remember when Jesus walked outside of the temple at the beginning of Matthew 24, the disciples were calling to his attention the great structure of the temple. We here this morning are worshiping in a historic church built in the very early 1800s on the site of previous churches, built out of stone quarried locally. So you can imagine the disciples being impressed when they saw these enormous masonry stones, these cut stones that the temple was built out of. Huge things that today we would use big power equipment to carve out of the quarry and to lift into place. But in that day, it was all done by manual labor. And of course, they marveled at this and they called Jesus' attention to it. And he told them, and this was a prophecy, that soon there will not be one stone laying upon another. You won't even recognize this as a temple. And of course, only 40 years later, the temple was destroyed by the Romans. This, of course, was one of the charges that the that the Pharisees brought against Jesus at his trial, saying that he had prophesied the destruction, not only the destruction of the temple, but declared that he could rebuild it in 3 days. And he was, of course, not talking about the temple being built in 3 days, but him coming back to life in 3 days, him being the temple that we worship. This scripture that precedes this, and including our scripture in Matthew this morning, were all preached on the Mount Olive. They are called the Olivet. And so when you read this bundle of scriptures talking about end times and talking about preparing for end times, this is all done on, was preached from the Mount of Olives. And we learn a lot from the scripture. Yes, the scripture this morning about the bridesmaids and carrying the virgins, or as some scripture translate them as bridesmaids. Okay, not just virgins. So they describe them as bridesmaids. And they were a big part of the ceremony. And may seem a little out of context for you this morning, but the scripture is some of the most important scripture that there could possibly be, because our very salvation, our very eternal life, hinges upon what is contained in this scripture. Jesus says we must be prepared. He also talked about in the scripture, the day and the hour is unknown. He said, if a man knew what time a thief was coming, he would have secured his doors and been prepared with a weapon to stop the thief. No one knows the hour. Not the Son, not the angels. No one on earth knows the hour or the time. And Jesus Christ declared that not even the Son himself knew the hour, only the Father. We do learn some things from this that apply to our everyday lives. Back in chapter 24, we learned that watch out because there are deceivers. It says we are told that there will be signs, but they will tell us that the end is coming, but they won't tell us when. They said there'll be wars. There'll be rumors of wars. They say that Jesus said that there will be false messiahs. There will be false prophets. He said, do not heed them. He said, Jesus told us that one of the ways that we can tell that a prophet is false is that they will meet in small circles in private places. They will meet in secret. They will meet in very closed places. And he said, the Son of Man will not return that way. How will the Son of Man return? We just read about that in Thessalonians. He will return from the cloud, very clouds that he rose up to when he was raised from the dead, when he was taken up into heaven. He rose up and disappeared into the clouds, and we are told that he will return in the same way. So anyone who comes along, who proclaims or is proclaimed by this world to be the Messiah, that has not come down from the clouds and can be seen by everyone in the world all at the same time, is not the Christ. We have this understanding. So there are many things that this is a mystery that we do not know, but there is much that we do know. One of the things that we are taught by this scripture is perseverance. Perseverance is taught over and over and over again by Jesus Christ. Why does he teach us about perseverance? He teaches us about perseverance because it is important. Because the world is constantly trying to pull your attention away from Christ. The world is constantly trying to pull your commitment away from Christ. The world is constantly trying to tell you that what is important is you. How you feel, how you look, and what you want. We look on the airline advertisements on television, and it tells us it is all about you. We look on the weight loss food supplements that you can order, and they tell you it is all about you and how you feel. If we listen to the ads for cars, it's how the car will make you feel and appear to your neighbor. Who is advertising anything out there in this world that is going to make you a more effective servant? Who is promoting anything that is going to help you be a better citizen? Who is out there trying to sell you something or convince you to do something that is trying to make you more loving, more caring? No, they want to make you more loved and cared about. The world is deceitful. The world is seeking you, drawing you away, and pulling you. Christ is calling you in. Christ is telling you to be patient, to be prepared, to be calm, to be content. We live in a world where it seems that not only are there wars and rumors of wars, that there is constant war. Now, it is possible that there has always been constant wars, and even likely, because there have been in the early times of Jesus Christ, I'm sure that there were wars going on somewhere in the world all the time. But they didn't have national media to inform you, and everybody wasn't aware of it. It wasn't, and who was going to be scared about a war going on China on the other side of the world? Today, it has an effect on us. So more and more, we hear the wars and the rumors of wars. More and more, we hear about the coming financial collapse. More and more, we hear about all of these things that are going to happen, could happen. And Jesus told us that you can worry all you want and it won't grow a single hair on your head. In our scripture this morning, Jesus talks about the foolish and the wise virgins or bridesmaids. He could just as well have talked about the foolish and wise men or women of today. What is foolish today? Foolish, according to the scripture, is not being prepared for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are things in life that you can put off. And trust me, I am the world's greatest procrastinator. If you don't believe me, ask Marie, who waits for the bulletin each week, you know. I got it in by Wednesday this week, though. Trust me, I'm the world's greatest procrastinator. If I can put it off, I will put it off. And that sometimes is inconvenient, but our salvation does not hinge upon whether we get our work done on time, how we set our priorities. Our salvation hinges upon whether we are right with Jesus Christ, whether we are one with the Holy Spirit, whether we have put our trust in Him and Him alone or not. Jesus teaches us about the thief in the night, about the person who comes and asks for the loaf of bread in the middle of the night, the person who He teaches us about the woman who keeps going to the judge and insisting over and over again that the judge give her justice And finally the judge relents and said, I can't stand this woman anymore. I will give her justice. He teaches us about the persistence that we need to be not just ready once and say, I have my salvation and forget about it, but be ready at every moment, at every hour, at every incident for His return, because we do not know when He will return. For those who are not right with the Lord, for those who are holding out, holding off, putting off, and not quite ready to give their lives over to Jesus Christ and His care and salvation, it is a threat. To those who have given themselves to Jesus Christ, those who have grasped onto His promise and trust in the Lord for their salvation, it is peace. So whether it's a threat or whether it's peace depends upon whether we are prepared for His coming. Now, none of us would even come at all had not Jesus Christ called us. If it were not for the beckoning of the Holy Spirit, none would choose God over the world. But God has called us. The Holy Spirit has beckoned us. Jesus Christ has brought you into His fold, but you are told to be prepared. Now, what this does mean is that there is a promise that Jesus Christ will return, whether while we're in this life or whether after Matthew has said we've gone to sleep. I'm sorry, after Paul has said we're going to sleep. But Christ will return and we will be with Christ. But we must be prepared. If there's somebody in your life who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is the day to give them a call. Today is the day to seek them out. Tomorrow may be too late. It could be 2,000 years before Christ comes. We have no way of knowing. It could be today. We are called to be prepared. And so the things that Jesus has told us to prepare by is prepare our hearts. We are to prepare a place for Him in our hearts, just as He said He goes and He will prepare a place for you in heaven. We are called to be persistent. Just as He taught us to knock and knock persistently and keep on knocking, we are to be persistent. We are to pursue our faith. We are to keep reaching out to others who have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We all have them in our family. We all have them in our circle of friends. We all have them in people that we love and care about. But we also have them who are just royal pains that we can't stand and don't want to be around. But we're called to call on them as well. So we're to persevere. We are to continue to offer the word, even if it's rejected 100 times, we're to offer it to those people. Jesus Christ is working in your life today. It may be that you don't always recognize that He is working in your life. It may be that you feel very, very alone. It may be that you do not feel that His work in your life is effective, that His word given by you to someone you care about is not effective. But it will be effective through Jesus Christ, through the power of His word, through the power that He has given you to share that word. But time is precious. We don't know when Christ will return. But He tells us over and over again, He will come when least expected, but He'll come in an instant. And after that time, it's too late to reach out to that other person. It's too late to reconcile your heart with Christ. It's too late for us to make decisions. It's too late for us to be disciples. Now is the time. We know that because that's what Christ has told us. So what does this mean in your life and in my life? What do we do differently? We need to be seekers. We need to be seeking out those who have not heard the word in our life. We need to not put that off. We need to be reconcilers. We need to reconcile our differences with our brothers and sisters in our families, in our family circles, in our friends, in our work. We need to reconcile ourselves and go and make things right. Ask for forgiveness. And make things right with our friends and family and neighbors. We need to turn our lives freely, openly, and joyously over to Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. We will not know when He will come, but we will know for certain that we are ready. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.